Message in the Bottle brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. I don't know, is he a traveling man? Eric, what's going on?
Well, not today, but hopefully, well, it feels like soon. Today we're so, my gosh, I don't even know where to start. I'll tell you what, we'll get back to that. Tell you where I got to start. I got to start by this, because it was just so affecting. Your interview with Stephen Tobolowsky was, I mean, I was in the car with my daughter and I started to tear up. I mean, really. I know those numbers. My Uncle Harry had those numbers on his wrist, and he too was one of the most joyous people. You'd never guess what he went through. So it was. I was sitting there, like at the very end, like trying to explain to Nella why I was like so emotional and all this. And just before she went into violin lessons, I was like, "This is horrible to do to a child." But no. All credit to you. What a wonderful interview and what a wonderful story. And I can't wait to delve into that when I have time. That sounds just fabulous.
Yeah,
it's a tough thing to you know. Obviously, I'm following some Celtics talk, and sorry, Boston fans. I think the writing's on the wall there. But boy, that was, I'm like, I got to follow this. This is ridiculous. So leaving on a jet plane in June, and I'm thinking good thoughts, folks. I'm thinking that the vaccines are rolling out, and that I am going to be able to take my family abroad. And so my hope is that we're all, my children have never been on a jet plane before. We waited because, frankly, on our honeymoon, Christine and I experienced many families on planes and decided that we would never subject people to that until our children would not require Benadryl to quiet them.
And we thank you on behalf of other travelers.
I'm saying, man, like sometimes you've just got to be the empath you were born to be. But that's the point is we're going to head to France, and so we've started to talk about terroir and the regions of the world are sort of where we're going to go for the next 6 months here on Radioland. And so I was thinking, you know, I'm going to be hopefully leaving on a jet plane. First, we're going to land in Paris, and for anybody who lands in Paris and is hoping to do wine things, you're what we coin in the business SOL. There's no real vineyard lands around Paris. Sorry, it's kind of swampy and kind of. It's not a. It's. I mean, I'm very sad because Nella is just. I mean, enthralled at the idea of going to Paris, but I'm enthralled with going everywhere but Paris because France actually has some wonderful geography and geology, but it's not there. And so this week we're going to talk a little bit about the Rhone Valley. And I know that, because of that wonderful interview, I have a little less time than normal, but I wanted to sort of talk about the Rhone leading into the Languedoc, which is the coast of France along the Mediterranean that is not Provence, which is, you know, the land of rock stars and movie stars and film festivals and trite rosé. But we are talking about these two regions that share a lot of similar terroir, although it's varied terroir, but really what they share is grape varietals. And what I like to talk about is that the Rhone is basically the place where they have rules, and the Languedoc is where they don't. And some people really like the aspect of rules. In fact, there was not long ago, the Côtier de Nîmes is a region that was part of the Languedoc, the lawless lands, if you will, the Wild West of the French winemaking region. And they said, we're going to apply for status, official status in the Rhone, because they were contiguous with the Rhone. So they had that going for them. And also, you know, all the grape varietals, you know, your classic Grenache, Syrah, Carignan, Mourvèdre, Pinceau. For whites, you have a lot of Viognier, some Marsan, some Macabeo, Grenache, Gris, etc. They're all very similar, but the Côtier de Nîmes craved not only the regulation, but the status, because with regulation comes status. You're like, you know, hey, not everybody can call themselves this. You have to do this, this, and this. And bear in mind, in the Southern Rhone, there's still a lot of loosey-goosiness. Northern Rhone, just to remind everybody, basically the red is Syrah, and the white, Marsan, Roussan, a little bit of Viognier. But it's pretty strict, and it's also a pretty small region. Much more Burgundian in nature than anything else. But in the Southern Rhone, where you have Chateauneuf du Pape, Vacaras, Gigondas, Vinceau, all these wonderful appellations. It's warmer, it's more Mediterranean climate, and it's much, much more akin to the Languedoc. So again, it makes sense that you'd have similar grape varietal types. But again, the people that are being drawn, frankly, well, first of all, we'll start that in the heart of the Rhone, because it's more valued, it's hard to find vineyard land. So it's actually imperative that some of these outlying districts kind of come on board, because it will allow people without the means otherwise to acquire Rhone-level vineyard land, which to some people is tremendously important. And bear in mind that, you know, especially in France, the legal classification of your wine, whether it's vin de France, which is sort of this sort of overlying, it's from France. Some of those can be and are considered some of the best wines in the world and fetch fabulous prices because they're special in and of themselves. But if you're not special in and of yourself, it's much, much easier to make more money if you have some sort of a higher level classification. That's just how it is. I mean, whether it's right or not, it's what it is. Very, very different terroirs from, and bear in mind that Languedoc really stretches from just below Avignon all the way over to the Spanish border, right? So you've got the Côte Catalane, you've got eastern and western Languedoc, tremendously different, but all in that Mediterranean subclimate, which does heavily influence the fact that you have ripeness, you have higher alcohol levels achievable. If you don't want it, you usually have to seek higher altitude or earlier harvesting. But a fantastic region, a big swath of earth that is immediately accessible to Americans. So please, if you have any questions, I know I'm running out of time, but these are the places that produce your Côte de Rhones and your other sort of wonderful Vin de Frances and Languedoc wines that are jammy and big and wonderful, but not, you know, kind of overwhelming and alcoholic necessarily. That we love to sell. That all said, Kerry, am I out of time, sir?
About a minute left.
About a minute left. Good. Then let me address this really quick, because this is a good place, because these are the people who care, right? We have changed our mask requirement at Bangor Wine. I just want everybody to know that. We are now, it is officially requested, not required. And the reason for that is, frankly, it's becoming a little overwhelming to require it because of the vast changes on the national landscape. But we are still asking, as much as one can, people who are not vaccinated to mask up. People who have any sort of concerns, mask up or do curbside. We will be as employees masked up in all cases with customers in the store. So just so you're aware, it's sort of a changing landscape. We're aware that there's people coming in from out of state now that simply are just not in the same place that we are, and not wishing to seek confrontations over our heads. We are going to just simply continue to do the right thing as much as possible, and pray that science takes precedence.
Well, we appreciate
eventually.
That. That's the way to do
it. It's the best way we think it is possible right now. But we do thank everybody for being so wonderful and so agreeable. Thank you. Please keep it up. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.